Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Beis. I'm going to go over again. I'm going to review Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Let's review the basic dream we have here. Daniel telling the Nebuchadnezzar about his dream, the dream and its interpretation. We have not yet got up to the interpretation, but the dream he has laid out in great detail. Then Daniel tells the Nebuchadnezzar that you saw in your dream an image come out of the ground. A mighty, powerful, frightening image with a very large base. Its head was best gold. Its arms and chest was silver. Its the low portion of the chest and the thigh was copper. And the legs were a combination of barzel, iron, with cheres, pottery. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, came a stone. A stone was quarried from a mountain, miraculously, without human intervention, without hands, and this stone shattered the statue into its parts, and then continued to pulverize the metal content of this statue into dust, into chaff, and the wind blew it away. But there was so much dust produced by this pulverization of the statue, the whole world could not... The whole world was not large enough to fill up, to settle, to take away the dust. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, again, Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Ant Malka, you the king, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, Kamo, Melech Malchaya, the king of kings, Di Eloh Shemai, who is the God of heaven, Malchus, Malchuso, Chisno, V'sokfa, V'kora, Yehavlach. So the Melech Malchai refers to Melech Malchai Melechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the God of heaven. This review from last time. He has given you the king, Ant Malka, has given you a kingdom that is Chisna V'Sakva V'Kar. Three different expressions. A very powerful, mighty kingdom. Yehivlach. So there are three words. Chisna means power. Takva means might. V'Kar means... Yakar means heavy normally. Here it means a heavy hand. An all powerful kingdom has given you, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Uvechol di Dorin b'nei Anosha, wherever human beings live, or Chevas b'ra, wild animals, or V'oif Shemaya, Yehav Bidach, Hashem has given you control, shlita, over the entire world of man, of wild animals, of birds. The hashlata b'cholhon has given you authority over all of them. Antu reisha di dehava, and in this dream you are the head of gold. So we're going to see here the four of the Dal Malchios. That's the topic of this very famous Perek Dal Malchios. We're going to discuss in great detail as we go through the Psukim. But the first thing we have to learn, and this is agreed upon according to all opinions. What we're going to learn in the future is not agreed upon. There's much discussion, much debate, and much disagreement. But in this part, everyone agrees that, because that's clear from the Pasuk, the first Malchus is Malchus of Bavel. Bavel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, conquered the world. And that is referred to in this image as the head. The head, of course, is the most significant part of the body. It is in control of the remainder of the rest of the body. And here it's made of fine gold. And it refers to the Nebuchadnezzar. He is the head of gold. Pasuk Lamites. Ubasra, after you, Taku Malchu Ochori. Now, Ochori means like Acher, another. Malchu means a Malchus. Taku means will be established. After you, right now at this point in time, the Nebuchadnezzar is receiving bad news. Bad news that your Malchus will not, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Your Malchus will not last forever. It will only last for a limited period of time. So obviously the Nebuchadnezzar at this moment in time must have been devastated. He thought that his Malchus will continue to last forever and ever. No. Uvasroch, after you, Takum, it will arise. Malchu Ochari, another Malchus. Ara, it's Kriviksiv. Ara means Lashon of Ra. Ra means evil. Or in this context, evil means weak. Something that's weak is evil. Ra mina, Ara minach, which is weaker than you. That's referring to the second Malchus, which we're going to learn simply according to most of the opinions, refers to Paras Umadai. Paras Umadai will take over as the world power after the fall of Bavel, and they will not achieve the same degree of power and respect in the world, and that's why in this image they are compared to silver. Just as silver is not as valuable as gold, likewise the Malchus of Paras Umadai is not as powerful and mighty as the Malchus that preceded it, the Malchus of Bavel. Umalchut Silisoyo. Okay, now Silisa, the Kriv says Malchu. Malchu means a kingdom. Silisoyo means a third kingdom. Ochari will come after the second kingdom. De Nichosha, which will be made from copper. Now it's interesting to note that when the Pasuk describes, Daniel describes the interpretation, he does not say the word silver. He mentions gold, the head. When he describes the image, he mentions there's gold, there's silver, there's copper, then there is a combination of iron with pottery. But when he provides the interpretation and he makes mention of Paras Umadai, the second Malchus, he does not mention the word silver. He mentions gold, Nebuchadnezzar, Yubavel. He mentions in the third Malchus, Malchu Silisoa Ochari Di Nechosha, which is made from copper, the Sishlat Bechol Ara, which will rule the entire world. And that third Malchus we know refers to Yavon. Okay, so we have so far three different kids. We're going to go through some of the Rashi and the Metzudos inside because there's some very important Yisodos that are taken from these Psukim. Now we go to Pasuk Mem. Let's just run through the Psukim quickly, then we'll come back. Umalchu Revi'o, the fourth Malchus, Tehede Sakifa Kifarzla, will be a very powerful Malchus. Now, iron obviously is not as valuable as copper. Copper today is the price through the roof. If people are familiar with construction, electricity, electricians are having a very hard time today. We had an electrician who was telling me that the price of copper is just through the roof, and all electrical wires today are made from copper.
Yes, the local thieves don't tell you.
And people have a certain, you go, so people have, in the industry, a contractor, there's a certain understanding that if you're going to hire a contractor to do all the electrical work, it's going to cost a certain amount of money. And all of a sudden, when the electrician doubles his price, the contractor is not very happy. The general contractor, why are you doubling the price? And when they say, well, the price of copper has doubled, and basically all of my material is the copper, it's a big deal. But here it says Malchu Revi'o, so copper is no question more expensive than Barzel. But Barzel has the advantage that it's powerful. So the fourth Malchus, which we're going to assume is Malchus of Edom, refers to, they're going to be more powerful, seemingly more powerful, even though their Shlita, their authority, did not match Bavel, Paras Umadai, and Yavon, but the Malchus of Edom, their power, their might, would be as strong as Barzal. So it's a trade-off. It's a little bit misleading. We think there's value versus strength. That's very important to understand in this mashal. The previous kingdoms of Nebuchadnezzar, Paras Umadai and Yavon, they are compared to metals that are valuable, that are beautiful, are valuable, but they're not necessarily very strong. Iron, there's no beauty in iron. No one ever glorified iron. But iron is practical. It's extremely powerful, extremely strong. And that is something interesting to look at in history, to study history in relation to the four Malchios, Nebuchadnezzar. Gold. Gold must mean that there was some type of beauty in his control. I mean, he was a Russian, Marusha, and he should have been Amish, so you don't want to go glorify Russia, but there's something to it that we are missing, in being that he's compared to gold. Whereas Edom, we know today, Edom, they know to get the job done. It's strong, it's powerful. Is it beautiful? Is it... Okay, you can debate the issue, but it's interesting to me. You want to say something?
Yeah, copper also is very valuable.
Yeah, you can bend it to work with.
The word with Kappa, maybe you can learn some.
There's some significance in studying the four Malchios. Yes, absolutely. Every part of this tree, it's not just a simple mashal. There's a lot of depth in the mashal. And if you study history, obviously you can bring out different ideas. Let's go back in one more time. Pasuk Mem. Now, it's interesting. The Pasuk here explains. Kol Kavel means just like. Kol Kavel, just like di farzla mehadek v'choshel kol, just like parzla iron mehadek, it crushes and polarizes. V'choshel, choshel means to weaken. It can crush and weaken kol everything. Uchefarzla di mira'ah kol ilain. And as iron weakens, and the pasuk repeats itself. And as ucheferzala di mira'ah means to weaken. Another word, we have hadek, choshel, and mira'ah. Mira'ah means to weaken. Kol ilain so to tadik viseroah. Will this malchus pulverize and weaken the entire world? So in this pasuk, it's hard to translate because the words cannot necessarily be translated linear. Have to be translated, you have to jump around. But parzel here is being compared to three different expressions: hadek, choshel, and ro'ah. Hadek means to pulverize, choshel means to weaken, ro'ah choshel, I don't know the difference between choshel and ro'ah, they both mean to weaken. And then when the pasuk goes on to say kol ilain means all of these. All of these referring to all the entire world. The entire world will be tadik v'seroa, will be pulverized and weakened through the power of this fourth malchus of Edom, which we are simply now translating as Edom, that is compared to iron. Now let's look just very quickly at the Rashi pasuk mem in the Mitzudos. Rashi pasuk malchu revi'ah hi kasha ki parzala. It is strong as iron. Kasher isa hashokayim shem revi'im l'roish ulchazil ulmayayim. Just like in the image you have seen in the dream, that the legs, the lower portion of this image, is made from iron. It is lower than the head, the chest, and the stomach. Mahadek v'chashel kula miradeid. Miradeid means to break into teeny little pieces. Umahadek, and to pulverize. Kol mini matochis. Just like iron has the power to pulverize other metals. Shem miradeidin oisam bikurnis. You take the anvil, the hammer, and the anvil is made from iron. And on this hammer, and you put on this anvil, you put the other metals and you bang it with a kornos, with a hammer made from iron. V'choshel umiradeid, and it v'choshel, he's translating the word v'choshel in Rashi identical to the word mehadeik. He translates both of these words miradeid. V'har b'yesh b'gmor chashli doidi. Okay, he cites different examples. We find this word in the Gemara is used to refer to crush, to pulverize, to weaken. Kol ilain, kol mini matochos halolu sharisa b'tzelem. All of the other metals that you've seen in the tzelem, tadik v'saroa, tadik v'userotzots. So Rashi is explaining that this last part of the pasuk, kol ilain, ilain literally means ele, these. And the way Rashi learns the pasuk is that the fourth metal, the fourth malchus, will crush the ones above it. Will crush the gold, the silver, and the copper. That's the power of the fourth malchus. Just like Barzel has the power to pulverize other metals, so to this fourth malchus that's made from iron will pulverize and crush its predecessors, the other kingdoms, Bavel, Parasumadai, and Yava. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Mem Aleph. I'll read a few more psukim, and then we'll come back and look at something very interesting in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Mem Aleph, V'di chazaisa raglaya ve'etz be'osa. This, V'di means this that you saw, chazaisa you saw, that the legs of this statue were made from the legs and the toes. Raglaya, the legs, the etzba'asa, and the toes. Minhein, some of them. were made from chasafti pechar, was made from pottery, was clay of a potter. Now here for the first time, it says the word pechar. Pechar means a potter. A potter refers to clay that's hard, whereas we'll see soon other times it's going to say pottery, clay that's soft. But right now, let's just focus on that. Dichasaf, clay, dipechor of a potter, a yotzer, uminhein, some of the material of the legs and the toes were made from parzel, of iron. So with regard to this fourth malchus, malchu peligot tehevei, half of the malchus will be min nitzbisa, malchu peligo tehavei, it will be a divided malchus. The last malchus of Edom will be divided into two parts. Min nitzbisa di farzelo lehavei la, it will have the strength of, nitzbisa means the strength of parzelo lehavei ba, kol kavel, just like di chazaisa parzelo, ma'orav, you saw mixed b'chasaf tina, with clay of tina. Tina means wet clay. Let's just read one more pasuk and we'll go back. The etzbe'o raglaya, and some of the toes of the leg, minhein parzel, uminhon chasaf, is repetition. Some was made from iron, some is made from pottery. Minkitzos malchusot hevi takifa, some of the malchus will be powerful. Uminot hevi severe, and some of it will be weak. So in these two psukim, Daniel is telling that you've seen in your dream the legs. The legs, part of the legs are made from iron, part of the legs are made from cheres, to indicate that part of the smalchus will be powerful like iron, and part of it will be weak like clay. And here, it's interesting to note that when he first mentions clay, he says the clay chasafti pechor, and the second time he says clay in pasuk membeis, he says pasuk memalef, he says bechasaf tina, which means wet clay that's soft. Let's go to pasuk mem gimel. Di chazaisa parzel ma'ara bechasaf tina. This that you saw, iron mixed with again the chasaf, the clay that's wet. Mis orvin lehevoin bizra anasha. Their strength will be mixed with the seed of man, for lo lehavoin dovkin dina im dina, but they will not cleave to each other. Hey chidi parzlo, just like parzlo lo misarav im chaspa, just like iron does not mix with clay. So basically, what it's saying here, let's read the Rashi, then we'll review some of these. So let's read Rashi over here, pasuk mem aleph. Chasaf di pechar. There's going to here to be mixed over here clay that's made from the pottery. Cheresh l'yotzer v'harba yesh b'gmor moni de pachra. Next Rashi. Malchu peligo tehevei, malchus chaluka tehevei. The last malchus, number four, will be a divided malchus. Shnei melochim yihyu mimena, ke'echad chazak v'cholosh. One of them will be strong and weak. The pasuk explains the malchus beforesh b'fmata. Part of the malchus will be strong. Part of the malchus will be weak. Next Rashi. Uminitz besadi parzel heviba, and the strength of iron will be found within it. So Rashi here interprets this to mean afecholosh, even the weaker part of the malchus. Yehi chazak al acherim, will be stronger than the others, other, I guess, kingdoms in the world. Al yidei chayzek chavero, sheyiru mipanov. V'zeh min nitzbesa, di parzol heviba, min chayzek matzabaz, this comes due to the strength of iron. Yehi b'melech acholosh, since the clay is attached, it cleaves to the iron, so the strength of the iron will somehow rub off and stabilize and strengthen the cheres, so even it, the weak malchus, will have some strength. Kol kovel di chazisa, kol uma shariisa barzom ura becharsis tit. And then Pasuk Memib Gimel goes on to say, Misarvim lahon bezira nasha, mis chatnim yiyu im shahu umos, velo yushlemos vidvokim imam beemes. The lave shalem vidaseim shonos, and their laws will be different midasei sharumos. And then he goes on to say that another important symbolism of the mixture between the clay and the barzel is that this malchus is going to intermarry, with other nations, but it's not going to be a good shidduch. It's not going to be successful. Their alliance, the other nations will not fully join together, the laws will not, the laws are different and they're not going to mingle well. Hakidei parzel, next Rashi, Hakidei parzel loim sarv, halohu kumosh eina barzel lidvak yofi imacheres. That's what it seems to be saying is, they're going to be really two types of clay. There is a wet clay and there is a hard clay. The hard clay represents the division of the malchus itself. Some want to learn that the fourth malchus is Rome. And we know that Rome was divided between the Byzantine Empire and the Holy Roman Empire, the East and the West. It would be two different. The Rome was divided into two parts. So the weaker was. I'm not sure which one was the weaker of the two. The Byzantines not necessarily. I mean, I think there were different periods. There are different periods of time where one had more power than the other. The popes were in the west. The popes were in the west, and the emperors were in the east during the Crusades. That's how the first Crusade began. The first Crusade began when the Pope sent to Emperor Alexius, and he said, the other way around. Emperor Alexius sent the message to the Pope that we need some help over here. They were having trouble with the Turks. I don't remember all the details and the Arabs, and that's really how the first Crusade began, when it was an alliance. There was a lot of politics between the two different parts of Malchus Edom. But that's how some indeed want to learn over here the significance of meaning over here. The fourth Malchus will be divided. There are going to be two different parts to this Malchus, Malchus Edom. Part of it is represented in the iron, part is in the clay. But even the clay is also going to be very strong, because the clay is hard, and the clay has hardened in the mold of the iron. Since it was once wet, this is the cheres of the yotzer. It has hardened in the mold, and it's stabilized, and it's very strong relative to the rest of the world. But then there's also soft clay. The soft clay indicates that this double empire, this Malchus, which has two parts, part of it is strong, part of it is weak, will attempt to dominate the world. How will they dominate the world? They will intermarry. They will try to have other nations marry into their nation, or it will just occur as a natural consequence of dominating the world. But it will, the other nations will not, it will not, they will not mold into one single nation. Those who intermarry into this nation of Edom will preserve their own laws, and there'll be many cultures within the major culture, like you find today in the United States. In the United States, you go down to Florida, you think you're in Cuba. If you go to certain states in the South, you think you're in Mexico. You go to certain states in the North, you think you're in Canada. So you go to Brooklyn, you think you're in Eretz Yisrael. The country, the Malchus, will try to encompass all of the nations, will demand that all of the immigrants assimilate and adopt the culture of the mother country, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to mix. Just like wet clay does not mix well with Barzel, these two cultures will not mix well. The mold is made from Barzel. Right, correct, absolutely. So that is the mother country. That's the host country, absolutely. So that's what it's saying here. And obviously, you go study history, you have to... Okay, I'm not familiar with all the details, but this is certainly true, has played out in the latter part of world history. So again, we have over here the fourth, the bottom part of this image. its legs are made from iron. There are two different types of clay. The main clay that we're focusing on as a power is the hard clay, and that indicates that it's going to be a divided malchus. Part of the malchus will be strong, part will be weak. And we know that to be true in the Roman Empire, where it splits. And then after that we have the wet clay, which represents its passion, its desire to dominate the world and have other nations assimilate into their culture, which will not succeed. Now let's see, I translate everything here according to the interpretation that the fourth Malchus is Edom. Now then the big question is, whatever happened to Yishmael? Yishmael played a major role in world history. In fact, Yishmael in certain parts was more powerful than, you could argue, was even more powerful than the Malchus of Edom. So where is Yishmael? Some want to learn. We'll go through the Mitzudas. Mitzudas takes a minority opinion. The Mitzudas wants to learn that the fourth Malchus is Yishmael, not Edom. It's a very, very big chiddush. This is the opinion of the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra disagrees with virtually all of the other Rishonim. We're all familiar, there are four Malchios: Bavel, Parasimodai, Yavon, and Edom, and Yishmael does not count. That's something which is separate. Ibn Ezra takes issue with this approach, and he learns that the fourth Malchus is Yishmael. And that's really how the Mitzudas David learns Pshat and Pesuk, which we're going to read inside in a few moments. Something very, very interesting. Some want to learn is that this, that it says that the Malchus will be divided, it refers to the combination of Edom and Yishmael. Edom, the fourth Malchus, is divided. Part is strong, part is weak. The part that's strong, the iron, is Edom. And the weaker part of this alliance is Yishmael. So that's really mixed into these two together. Okay, let's run through the mitzvahs. It's a very hard circle. So let's run through the mitzvahs, and the process of going through the mitzvahs will come away with a number of very interesting yesodos. Okay, so let's go back. I'll go through it slow. Let's go back to Pasuk Lamed Tes. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Tes is where he begins to describe the Malchus which comes after Nebuchadnezzar. After the full Nebuchadnezzar, there's going to be a second Malchus which we know it to refer to as, what we refer to as Parasimodai. Ubasroch, Viacharoch, after you Babel, Tamoid Malchus Acheres, Pachos Vimcha, Ratzah, I'm reading from the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ratzah Laimar, Shefala Vigorua Mimcha, lower and weaker than you. Just like you saw in the image, the chest, the hazeros, and the arms, they're lower than the head, which is of a metal that is less valuable than gold. So the Mitzudos right away jumps in, he takes an opinion, he's really taking from other Rishonim, and he says the second Malchus is Modai. Notice he does not say Paras, which is very interesting. He says Modai, because Modai was the one who did indeed conquer Bavel, but shortly thereafter, the Malchus was turned over to the king's son-in-law, Paras. Okay, eventually we'll go through all of the details. But right now, he just says it's Modai. Malchus Hashlish, the next words of the Mitzudos, Asher Timlech Acharecha, Yiyyeh Shel Nechayishes, Asher Timshol B'chol Aretz, Vuhu Malchus Yavon. Hakoshin vechazakim ki nechayishes. So nechayishes is strong, is very strong and powerful, more so than gold and silver. The timloich achrei modai kmo, just like in the image that you've seen, the habetim, the stomach, and the thigh, v'hayirei chayim, heimulamata me'achazoyitz, that's rest, they're lower than the chest and the arms. Period. And then, look what he says here in the Mitzudos stuff. He says something which is, again, this is a minority opinion. He's following the Ibn Ezra. He's disagreeing with virtually all of the Rishonim. He's taking this approach as the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Mitzudos always likes to take the Pshuta Shel Mikra. He had the schus that his parish appears command in every single printed Tanakh today. The basic Tanakh, it's the most basic parish. Malchus Roima, the Malchus of Rome, he kelula b'malchus Yavon. Unbelievable. The Malchus of Rome, Edom, is included in Yavan. Why? Kimasha Amar, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Tzim Miyad Kitim. Tzim means ships will come from the Kitim. Who is the Kitim? Who is this? So here he takes a Targum Yoin, Targum Unkelis, the Tirgum Unkelis, the Sion, and their help, Yitzruchon Meromi. Their help will extend from this pasuk refers to Yavan, and Yavan's help will come from Rome. Kevchein biYerushalmi min deroimoy v'chsir hema mebnei Yavan. Min derom v'chein biYerushalmi min targum Yerushalmi. He's referring to a targum Yerushalmi, and he says the kitim hema mebnei Yavan. Who was kitim? Kitim, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Kitim are descendants of Yavan, Kemash Amar, in the beginning of Parashas Noach, Ubnei Yavan, the children of Yavan, Elisha v'Tarshish, Kitim v'Dudonim. So Kitim is a child of Yavan, and it says in reference to Yavan v'Tsim Miyad Kitim, and the Targum translates Kitim as Rome. Okay, so Rome, Targum Yonasan tells us that Kitim is Edom. And Kitim is a child, just a very simple arithmetic. Kitim is all we need from the Targum is to know that Kitim is Rome, but Sin Miyad Kitim. Targum Unkelis translates Kitim as Rome. And we know that Kitim is a son of Edom. So, Edom is not a fourth Malchus. Edom is a natural extension of Yavan, of Greece. Next, let's go further in the next mitzvah. Umalkoi, Umalchus Horvis, the fourth Malchus. Techazaka Kebarzel. The fourth Malchus will be as strong as Barzel. V'loi Omar Bo, loy Basra, v'loi Achrei. It did not say an expression afterwards, Achrei, K'masham, v'shniya v'shlishis. L'vishah Malchus, modai loka Malchus, mikazdim, mikol v'kol, v'loi nishar bohem v'lucha, v'chin Malchus, yovin loka Malchus, mimodai v'lukol v'kol, v'loi nishar bohem v'lucha, av'loi kein nech v'nilkecha, ha-Malchus, miyovin mikol v'kol. Ki adayin roima Malchus, Umashalas, Vihi Mamleches Yavon Kemash Amal Mal. He's making the following diyuk. If you look back in the Pasuk Lamed Tes, just go back to the Pasuk Lamed Tes, you'll notice it says Vash Uvasrach after Yudhuchanetzar, Tokum Malchu Ochori. Okay, the word Ochori is written in reference to the second Malchus, the Malchus of Modai. Let's go further. Malchu, further in the pasuk, Malchu Sili Saw, the third Malchus, Ochori. Again, the word Ochori appears in reference to the third Malchus, Dinichosha. But then when you go to pasuk Mem, and it describes the fourth Malchus, it says, Malchu Rivi O'o, to have a takifa kibarzala, we mighty like iron. It does not say the fourth Malchus is Ochora. Why not? Because the word Ochora has a connotation that it's the Acher. It is the complete replacement. When Modai came to the world scene and conquered Bavel and the Kasdim, there were no survivors. The Malchus of Bavel was bankrupt. It ceased to exist. When the Malchus of the fourth Malchus, which we have yet to describe who it is according to the Mitzudos, which we'll see means Yavan, when the fourth Malchus came, let's take a step back. When Yavan came and conquered Modai ceased to exist. Modai and Paras ceased to exist. But when the fourth Malchus, the first Malchus was Nebuchadnezzar. The second Malchus was, according to the Mitzvahs, was Modai. When Modai conquered Nebuchadnezzar, the Malchus of Bavel ceased to exist. when Yavan, which was the third Malchus, came along and conquered the second Malchus, the second Malchus ceased to exist. No more was there Paras Umadai, zero, zilch. Paras Umadai were off the world stage. Who is now Yavan? But now, who is Yavan? Yavan is Yavan, Greece, which includes within it Edom. But when the fourth Malchus will take the world stage, which we're going to see in one moment, is Yishmael, they didn't knock off the stage Edom. Edom is an extension of Yavan. They remain. The Malchus of Edom remains Ad Hayom Hazeh. It has not left, it continues to exist. There's another Malchus which works side by side, which is a partner in world power, called the Malchus of Yishmael. So that's why it does not say the word Acharu, Acher, in reference to the fourth Malchus, because the fourth Malchus did not replace the third Malchus. The third Malchus continues to exist. And what's so amazing and so unique about the interpretation of the Mitzudos, which is from the Ibn Ezra, is that the third Malchus is the Yavan, and who is the natural successor to Yavan? It is Edom, because Edom is what it says in the Torah, Kitim. The Targum tells us that these two are synonymous, and it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah that reveals that Kitim is a son of Yavan. So Yavan and Edom is one in the same, and they have not gone anywhere. But they're not the main player. They're not the main power. Who came after them? The fourth Malchus. The fourth Malchus is as strong as Barzel. It has a mixture of two different types of clay, a wet clay and a hard clay. They came along and dominated the world, and their power is much stronger than anything that came before. But they did not push off from the world Rome, Edom, which is the continuation of Yavan. Now, who is this fourth Malchus? Pasuk Mem, Umalchu, Pasuk Mem, Umalchus Harvisti Chazaka Kibaza, Voloy Amarbol, Loy Basra, Voloy Achre, Kamasham, Beshnevish, we read this already before. Lefisha Malchus, Modai Loka Malchus, Mikasta Mikol Vachol, Voloy Nisha Bohem Mulucha, period. Vachin Malchus, Yavan Loka Malchus, Mimodai Mikol Vachol, Voloy Nisha Bohem Mulucha, Avaloy Kinel, Nulucha Malchus, Miyavan Mikol Vachol. But the fourth Malchus did not take away from Yavan entirely, Kiadain Roima, because who is Yavan? Yavan continues into Rome, and Rome still exists. Kedayin Rome Malchus Moshelasi Mi Malchus Yavan Kamasha Malamaila. Okay, Kol Kavel. Next words of this Rashi. Kol Kavel Rutzlema Lazera Mazalek Barzel Bavur Asher, because Asher Habarzel Mikates Umiradeid, it pulverizes Kol Dover. Uchemo Shabarzel Hashem Ratzitz Kol Dover Kein HaMalchus Harviyas. So to the fourth Malchus will Tichates Visirotzitz Kol HaMalchus Soele V'af HaPleita Nesheres Mikastim Modai V'hi Malchus V'hi Mal in the leftovers from Mikastim Umimodai V'hi Malchus Roima Asher Tispashet Malchus Samliachar Spashtus Malchus Yavan Kumosha Shokhaim Braglaim Himalamata Menabetin Vahire Chaim. Let's just run through this very quickly. Vidi Chazise Vasheri Isa Raglaim Vihatspois Mehem Hoyucheris Shal Yetzer Mehem Barzel Malcha Pishon Husha Tia Malchus Haluka Bixas and Mekomus Ischatsu Kibazel Chil Ruma. I'm making a mistake. I'm making a mistake over here. He's not saying what the Ibn Ezra says. You know what? I'm going to leave this for tomorrow. I'm not clear. I'm not prepared well for this. Let me leave this for tomorrow. We'll continue with this. Pick up this thing tomorrow. Exactly what the Mitzudas is saying. He's coming to agree with Ibn Ezra. He's coming to disagree. So we'll leave this part for tomorrow. Okay, let's stop here.